as we've been preparing for the new year, I actually want to teach a class tonight, and it's called Finding Your Design. And tonight I want to talk to you about finding your place in the local church, because God has really been revealing to me and speaking to my heart how we matter. We matter. And I think it's important that you understand, you know, for years I used to come to the church and I used to think to myself, well, what can my life do? Who's ever been there? Right? But you have to know tonight that God has a calling upon your life. And there are certain gifts and abilities he's put inside of you. And that's meant to bless other people. And I've learned years ago that my calling is dependent upon your calling. We're in this together. In order for me to reach my full potential, I need to lock arms with those God brings into my life. And how many know if you're going to make it, if you are going to reach your full potential in God, you have to make sure that you lock arms with your brothers and your sisters. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. If you've ever wondered where do I fit or what am I called to do, this class will be for you. Are you with me? Amen. So Romans chapter 12. And remember to please keep the women in prayer and pray for me. Come on, somebody. I am at home with two boys, and let me tell you, it's not the easiest thing in the world. This morning, trying to get them both ready to get out of the house was an actual adventure. I was like, come on, let's go, let's get in the car. Eli's like, no. I was like, come on, buddy, let's get in the car. No. Dude, let's get in the car. So right when he says, okay, the other one takes off his shoes. I'm like, dude, put your shoes back on. We got to go. So pray for me. I got two more days and mama comes home. Amen. Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. And the Bible says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to everyone, every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Someone say, we belong to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your beautiful word. God, I ask that you would please speak through me. Allow me to decrease that you may increase. I need you, God. And I pray that you would encourage someone to find their place in the local church. I pray that you would inspire someone to reach their full potential so that they can make an impact in other people's lives. And I pray that as we unite in purpose, that you would allow us to fulfill the purpose of this church. God, we want to be a lighthouse, not only here in Tacoma, but throughout all of Pierce County and beyond. It's my heart's desire, Father, that we raise up pastors, preachers, and teachers, those that are willing to give hope to those that are hopeless. I ask, God, that you would remind us of the call and remind us of the gifts that you've put inside of us so that we can be effective as a body. I thank you. I bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So tonight, I want to talk to you for a few moments about reaching your full potential. And I want to talk to you about finding your place in the local church. You know, years ago when I came into the church, over 16 years ago, I remember when God started doing a work in my life. And I remembered that I felt, compelled to do something for God. I would come to the services and the preacher would preach, and I remember feeling stirred in my heart, but then I also felt a little discouraged because I didn't know how I was going to become this man of God. And I really didn't know what God had called me to do. And that's what I want to speak to tonight, because I think that it's important that, you know, sometimes we can get caught up in just coming to church, right? We can just get caught up in going through the routine and the motions of life. But you got to know that there is a reason why you're here tonight. I don't believe in happenstance. I don't believe God just brings you into the church. I believe with all my heart, God has a specific plan for you during this time. When you just look around at what's happening in society today, we got problems. We got problems. The world is crying for leaders to rise up and take their place. All you got to do is look into the school system. The school system is crying for leaders who would stand for what is right. All you got to do is look in the political campaigns. We are looking for people that are real, people that are willing to take their stand. And I think that now more than ever, God is looking for someone that is willing to stand up and do what God's called them to do. And sometimes we can feel like, where do I fit? Well, if you didn't know, I need you to know that you are important to the house of God. You are important to God's plan. When God created heaven and he created earth, you got to know that there was a plan for you and what you were called to do. And there's a few things that really stick out to me, and I'm going to pull out real quickly, and then we're going to get into the teaching. But I love in verse number 5 where it says, "So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that has been given to us, let us use them." First thing you got to know is that God has given us all different gifts. And it's our responsibility to cultivate those gifts, and it's our responsibility to use those gifts for God's honor and God's glory. The second thing you got to know is that we are individual members of one another. That means your gift somehow complements my gift. And when we're walking in unity, we can do greater things than we could have done when we were doing them on our own. And then I love what it says in verse 6 when it says the third thing, having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. And when you look at your handout, A says the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of the human body to teach the importance of unity and how every believer has a place and a role in the body of Christ. B says there's a gift. And the Greek word for gift is charismata, which refers to God-given abilities, also known as spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts are gifts that are bestowed by the Holy Spirit upon believers for a purpose in building up the church. And we find this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for edifying the body of Christ." See, God has given everyone some sort of gift or ability. And it's his desire that we use those spiritual gifts for his honor and his glory. So you got to know that there are things inside of you. There are deposits and spiritual gifts God's bestowed upon your life. And you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to use those gifts for God's honor and God's glory. Little A says our responsibility is we as God's people must understand it is our responsibility to cultivate and develop the gifts he has given us. It's our job and our responsibility to sharpen the skills God has given us. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says this, "If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success." And when you look at what skill is, it's simply a developed knowledge. Or it's when you understand something to its full capacity. And you got to know that there are things inside of you. For example, the worship team, you know, they have gifts of music, but they can't just get up here and start playing. They have a responsibility to cultivate that gift. They have a responsibility to practice. If God has given you a gift to study God's word or to interpret God's word, it's your job to cultivate that gift and become an expert in that field, because it's going to be through you that we're going to be able to multiply our efforts, whether it be a Bible study, where your study time in the morning will benefit someone else's life who's struggling. But we got to understand the gifts that are inside of us. There are some of you, you know what's funny? I remember when we first took over the church, and I remember me and Brother Joe were talking about it when we first, I think the second service that I came, we would pray, and within 5 minutes, everyone was cleared out. And I think it was me, Brother Joe, and Donna, and my wife left, and Brother Polly. And I remember, I was like, wow, we got to create community. And I remember, you know what changed everything? Somebody rose up and said, you know what, I love to cook. Can I cook? Can I please cook? And I remember I was like, sure. They said, and I even offered to give them money. They said, no, I won't take your money. I just want to cook out of the goodness of my heart. I said, go get down, sister. Do what God's called you to do. And you know what's amazing? Out of the simple gift of knowing how to cook, that woman came, and she came Sunday and just put out a spread. Right? All of a sudden, the very church that used to be empty 5 minutes after, right? You look at today, we end service at about 12. People are still here till 2 o'clock. Why? Because someone used their gift so that other people can fellowship. It's something so small, but because someone was willing to utilize their gift, today we have a community within our church. People don't see the little things. The little things, right? It's the little things. Did you know that somebody comes early and puts coffee on so that you can come and have a cup of coffee, right? Somebody comes here and they clean the church for us so we don't have a dirty church before when we show up, right? There are people that utilize their gifts. And when you and I, we use our gifts for God's honor and God's glory, listen, we can do great things. But if there's just a few people putting their hands to the plow, we're going to stay stuck. And we'll never reach our full potential. Now, you may look at me tonight and say, well, Pastor, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't even know what I'm called to do. Who's ever been there? Just kind of wave at me. Well, that's what I want to go through tonight, because I've learned years ago that there are certain benchmarks or certain things you can look at that will help you identify with what you're called to do. So this is what we're going to go through tonight. We're going to go through our worksheet. When you look at number 2, it says finding your design. If you're looking or trying to figure out what God's called you to do, the first place you got to look at, D, and D is desire. What are your desires? What are the things that you like doing? In other words, what is your passion? If all things were equal and you could do anything in the world for the Lord, what would that be? Let me hear. If all things were equal, somebody say something. If you could do anything for God, what would that be? Anybody? Brother Anthony. Have a corporation. Okay, to make money or to what? Okay, come on, brother. I'm going to pray for you. Hello. Somebody else. If all things were equal and you could do anything for God, what would you do? Help children. All right. That's good. Somebody else. Sister. Help hurting women. All right. Somebody else. Sister. Develop. Okay. Disabled adults. Come on. Adults. Adults. Brother. Help people that have transportation issues. Come on. Feeding community kitchen. Right. Now, let me ask you this. If money wasn't an issue, what would you do for God? Think big for a second. If you could do anything impactful to help people and for God's honor, God's glory, what would that look like? Somebody talk to me. Okay, come on. All right, that's good stuff. Somebody else. Tiff, if you could do anything for God, anything, money wasn't an issue, what would you do? Free health care. All right. Sister. Shelter for the homeless.
Sister.
Community Outreach Center, brother. Okay, special needs. One more. All right, there you go. All right, one more. There you go. That's good stuff. See, so what we just did, we went around the room and we talked about desires, things that are inside of you. Now, what's inside of you isn't just there because it's a thought. God put that in you. Some of us, our desires stem from what we've been through. Some of us understand what it means to be hurt and hopeless, and therefore we have a heart to want to help other people. But the first place you got to look is, what are your desires? Because God places desires within us, and God will put those desires in us so that eventually we will dream of what could be. God desires for you to be a person of vision. You know what vision simply is? It's a mental picture of what could be, driven by the conviction of what should be. I'm going to say that again. Vision is a mental picture of what could be, and it's driven by the conviction that should be. In other words, there are a lot of people, they have great visions, but they don't have the conviction to make it happen. But desire will not leave you alone. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose." The New Living Translation says it like this, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him." See, this is going to get good for some of you, because some of you, God's been stirring your heart. There's something inside of you that will not allow you to sleep. I will never forget when this church came available, I couldn't sleep at night. They told me that the church was, that they needed a pastor. And I wasn't even thinking about pastoring. But I remember that night, I couldn't go to sleep. Who's ever been there? Right? I felt like a kid, like I couldn't go to sleep. And I remember I would go to the internet and I started looking up Tacoma. And I couldn't, everything just happened. And inside of me, I felt like I need to go. There was a desire God placed in my heart. Going back to the scripture, "For God was working in me, giving me the desire to obey him so that the power in him would be revealed through me and that I would please him." So you got to know this, that when God puts a desire in your heart, sooner than later, it's time to act. Because a desire with good intentions without action are just good thoughts. There are a lot of people, they have good intentions. All they do is they think about what they want to do. But if we don't put action behind our desire, they'll only be good thoughts. B says this, "Your passion is the area or arena where you feel most motivated to use your gifts. When you link your gifts with your passion, we begin to play a powerful role in the body of Christ and will find great joy and motivation in our service." In other words, your passion will be the place where you feel most motivated to utilize what you have for God's honor and God's glory. And for some, we may have gifts, but the problem isn't the gift. The problem is we don't know how to get along with people. Can we talk about some things? See, because to utilize your gift and bless somebody else sometimes means sacrifice. It means giving up, right? Maybe your time, right? Sometimes it's, some of us, we got some complexes. We don't want to look dumb. Who's ever been there? I don't want to look dumb, so I don't do. But you got to know that when you step out in selflessness and you do what God's called you to do, the gift was never for you. It was for you to bless somebody else. And when you walk in what God's called you to do, people are encouraged by your life. I think that complexes have a way of holding us back. Complexes have a way of causing us to feel like we're going to fail. You can't give in to your failures, but you got to trust God. So the first place in finding your designer, finding what God's called you to be, you got to, one, find out what are your desires. What are the things that live inside you? Secondly, E, in order to find your design, you got to look at your past experiences. So E is experience. It says our experiences are important consideration when seeking out God's design for our lives. God has a way of using our past experiences to mold us into who we are supposed to be. And God will use even negative experiences to complete our design. Genesis 45, 4b and 5, it's the story of Joseph. Many of you know his story. He was a young man that had a dream and had a vision. But he was a little immature in his pursuit of that vision. And what happened? His brother sold him into slavery and he went through a process. He was later on sold and then he had to live and work under Potiphar's house and later on thrown into jail. Now he had gone through a lot of negative things. In Genesis 45, 4 and B and 5, this is the scripture that speaks of his understanding on why he went through what he went through. It says, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Some of you have gone through some heavy things, and God allowed you to go through, he allowed you to go through that circumstances because he was going to utilize that to help someone out of their mess. And you got to know that everything behind you, it's not meant for you to look back. Some of us got to stop living on our past. We got to forget about the things that happened to us. We got to focus on God. God, I give you my issues. I give you my unforgiveness. Help me to utilize what I've been through for somebody else. Right? And that's where, like what you were talking about, you said, man, other options. When you said that with passion. Man, there got to be other options. God's put that inside of you for a reason. That means you're probably going to be, God's going to utilize that to give someone else hope. I know what it is to feel lonely. I know what it is to come from a broken family. I know what it is to be raised in a household with dysfunction, with alcohol. I remember my mom taking us running from mother's home to mother's home to keep us away from our dad because our father was an alcoholic. I remember that. There is a reason I have a passion to want to help hurting people. There is a reason I have a passion for souls, because I know that if someone can give hope and understand that God is able, they can come out of whatever funk they're in. Yes, I said funk. Come on, somebody. I'm not perfect. I'm not a theologian, but what I am a sinner saved by grace. And I thank God someone went into the ghetto and told me about Jesus. I thank God that there was somebody that was willing to go after a young man that was hurting. I didn't have it all together. As a matter of fact, my youth pastor, I tried to fight him. I did. I was like, brother, just leave me alone, bro. Now you got to get inside. Get your hands off me, bro. True story. He tried to pull me out. I'm like, brother, I'm a grown man trying to take me into youth service, brother. I thank God for his tenacity. I thank God he's seen something in me, because I was going to youth service high. True story. I used to take my little brother and I used to go high. And he knew, the youth pastor knew. But he talks to me now and he's all, I just remember looking at you and I was like, if I can get this young man, if I can get them to follow Jesus, there's no telling. And you know what? I'm grateful. I thank God for men that weren't afraid to teach me how to be a man. We are living in a dying world. Men, young men, need to be shown how to be a man. I say that because, man, I've been through some things. But I thank God that I went through those things. I thank God that God was able to utilize them to bring him glory. So your past experiences are a big way in helping you find what God's called you to do. The next one, S, spiritual gifts. So in helping finding your design, you got to tap in or figure out what your spiritual gifts are. Spiritual gifts. Every person who knows Jesus is given one or more spiritual gifts. For example, in Romans chapter 12, it lists the following gifts, and you have at least one of them. So in your handout, I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you the gift and read you a brief explanation. And I want you to put a star next to the ones that you identify most with, because one, you have at least one or two of these gifts. Some of you may have multiple gifts, but you've got to understand what your spiritual gifts are. Number one, the first gift that it mentions, prophecy. And prophecy is simply this. It's the ability to discern quickly between right and wrong. This gift compels this believer to see things without shades of gray. In other words, prophecy isn't always seeing into the future. Prophecy is simply discerning between right and wrong and compelling a believer to move in what could be. And some of you, you have the ability to notice what's going on. You have this inside of you where you can tell what people are going through, or you can look at somebody and you can see their future. That's a gift. Number two, serving. And a person who serves is a person who feels motivated to meet physical needs through serving, whether it is helping set up chairs, sweeping floors, cooking, etc. This person feels comfortable and motivated to help in this way. People with the gift of service will serve when nobody's watching and they don't care if they get a pat on the back. That is an actual gift. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't always have that gift. I wanted a pat on the back. Come on, somebody. I used to do things because I wanted my pastor to pat me on the back. Hello. Be careful with that, because you might not get a pat on the back. But a person who has the gift, they serve because they feel it's in their heart and their will to do so. Number three, the gift of teaching. Are you getting something? Teaching is the gift of teaching. This is a person with the teaching gift enjoys sharing truths with others and loves to discover what helps others to be most effective. Sorry, there's a typo there. But a person who has the gift of teaching loves helping other people become more effective. Then you have the gift of exhortation, number four. Exhortation. An exhorter enjoys the process of communication in order to stir another's faith to high levels. He or she sees the steps necessary to resolve a problem or move a ministry forward. He or she is able to garner support and mobilize people towards a common goal. Someone who has the gift of exhortation has the ability to rebuke and make it sound nice. You know those people where you're like, man, they just rebuked me, but I'm not even mad at them. That person has a gift of exhortation. Number five, giving. Giving is a gift. And a person with the gift of giving feels motivated to meet the need or advance the ministry by removing any financial burden that would hinder its progress. He or she takes great delight in financially supporting a worthy ministry. And I believe that there are going to be some of you that you may not be called to preach the gospel, but God's going to bless you. Whether like, brother, you have a business one day. Yes, I believe that. I believe with all my heart, God hasn't called us to be the head. I mean, he's called us to be the head and not the tail. God hasn't called us to beg. God didn't call us. The Bible says that we would lend to many and we would never need to borrow. But in order for us to lend to many, we got to learn the financial principles of the Bible. This is why when we take offerings, I don't compel you or make you feel bad to give. I don't say things like, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get blessed. I don't say things like that because I need you to understand the principles of giving. I need you to understand the principles of the Bible, because when you could handle your finances according to God's glory, God is able to bless you. But if we can't handle money, the Bible says, how, if we're not faithful in the little, will he give us more? He who is faithful in the little will be blessed with much. Number six, the gift of leading. A leader has the ability to administrate and organize others towards a common goal or direction. That's pretty self-explanatory. There are some of you, you may not be a polished leader, but there's something inside of you that wants to lead people to do good. Number seven, the gift of mercy. Mercy. And those with the gift of mercy are able to quickly discern the emotional hurts of others. They feel motivated to alleviate the inner struggles in others even more than meet their physical needs. And A says, each of us has at least one of these gifts that will fuel our action and tendencies. And I put note, as important as each gift is, they become unbalanced if operated in isolation. What do I mean by that? As important as every gift is, they become unbalanced if operated in isolation. What do I mean by that? Somebody. Brother Joe. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Brother.
Absolutely. Right? What's the acronym of team? Together, everyone accomplishes more. And I felt compelled to say that because I see that there are a lot of people that they like to serve safely. What do I mean by that? Someone that they just want to serve safe. In other words, they just want to come and serve, but they don't want no conflict with anybody. There are a lot of people in the church today, because of their hurts, they will serve, maybe they'll show up and do their little ministry, and they'll leave right after without connection. That's serving in isolation. People that come, and let's just say, I'm going to pick on the ushers. Let's say someone comes, they hold the basket, but immediately after they leave. That gift could be served in isolation. You got to know that in order for you to be effective, your gifts will some way, somehow complement other people. And when you serve in trust and willingness to help other people, your gift will be magnified. But if we serve in isolation, we will become unbalanced. Romans 12:5 says this, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. When you go on to I, another way that you can find your design, you got to find your individual style. Individual style. Each of us has a unique temperament. Our unique temperament is the makeup of our personality and individual style of doing things. For example, on one end of the spectrum, you may have an extrovert, which is somebody, you know, who's maybe more outgoing. And while on the other hand, you have someone that's an introvert, someone that may be quiet and doesn't speak as much. Two very different people who may approach ministry differently. Is one stronger than the other? Absolutely not. Your individual style will not change your calling as a Christian, but it will suggest how to best carry out your calling. Just because someone's outgoing doesn't mean they're better than the one that's not outgoing. That just means you're in. And I feel compelled to talk about this because when I believe that when you give your life to God, you don't have to change. You don't have to change. Now, you got to change the sin in you, but you don't got to change who you are. As a matter of fact, you don't got to be like the guy next to you. You don't even got to be like the pastor. I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be you. Because you being you will reach people I can't reach. But sometimes people come to church and they're like, man, I got to change. No, you don't. I'm still a nut. Some of you are still a nut. Come on, somebody. Huh? I'm still me. Nothing's changed. The difference is I'm living according to God's word. The difference is I don't like to live in sin. I learn how to seek God out and I learned how to repent, but I'm still me. And you got to stay you. You be you. You be the best that you can be. Don't worry about what anybody else says. Don't worry if you're unconventional. Don't worry if you don't fit in the box that people like to put Christians in. I like when people say, you're a Christian? Yes, I am. You don't smoke? No, I don't. You don't drink? No, I don't. So how do you have fun? Baby, it's called Jesus Christ, and I don't need to depend on any depend. I don't need to put any chemicals in my body. I live out peace. I live out joy, and I don't have to change. I don't have to mask my issues through drinking. I don't even got to go on Facebook and tell the whole world. Come on, somebody. There's some people, that's what they do. Go on Facebook. You got some theologians. Don't be one of those theologians on Facebook. Hello. I'm like putting all your scriptures and all your wisdom on Facebook, but you don't do nothing in the church. Well, moving along. Your individual style will not change your calling. So remember, you can be you. In this church, we accept you. If you're loud and if you're quiet. If you're too loud, though, we might ask you to pipe down just a little bit. G, growth phase. Growth phase. And I'll explain what this is. When trying to find what God's called you to do, you got to understand the growth phase that you're in. Because we serve a God that will have us walk through seasons and different journeys. And depending on where you're at will determine what God's called you to do. And you got to know that there'll be times where God might call you to step into an area of ministry, perhaps for a season, and it will be dependent upon your growth phase. I put God calls us to grow in Christ as long as we walk on this earth. And your current growth phase factors in as a part of your design and gives you valuable insight into where you can best plug into the ministry of the church. A says spiritual growth is better measured by a person's willingness to apply what they have learned rather than the length of time they have been around. I'm going to say that again. Spiritual growth is better measured by a person's willingness to apply what they have learned rather than the length of time they have been around. This has to do with growth phase. This is why you have some people that come into the church and they surpass people that have been in the church 5 years. They've only been here a year, but because of their willingness to apply what they've learned, their willingness to cut back on sin, their willingness to live according to God's word determines their growth phase and what God can do in their life. And I say this because you got to be careful that if you've been around for a while, that you don't get stuck in the routine. Some people are still in the second growth phase. It's been 2 years, but they're still in the same phase. God says, it's time for you to come up out. It's time for you to break through. It's time for you to finally pass this test. And you got to know that God will put tests in your life. And if you don't pass the test, he can't take you to the next level. But spiritual growth is better measured by a person's willingness to apply what they have learned rather than the length of time they have been around. John 13, 17 says this, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. See, whenever God would give promises, he would normally put ifs in there. In other words, it was a condition. He said, blessed will be you if. He didn't say he was just going to bless, if you do that. And this is where we got to apply the word of God into our lives. I'm not saying you got to go 180 from one day to the next. All I'm saying is you got to grow in your willingness to change. You got to grow in your willingness to give certain things up. And when you're willing, even if you're not all there yet, by faith, God will take you to the next level. Sometimes it's just faith, right? On Sunday, we talked about making sure our faith level is above our fear level because fear will keep you down. But as long as your faith level is above your fear level, you will be able to conquer whatever it is you fear. And lastly, when looking or seeking out God's design for your life, you got to figure out what are your natural abilities. Natural abilities. Our natural abilities add an important component who God made us to be. What do you enjoy doing? Do you have a natural talent for fixing things? What comes naturally to you? Do you just naturally encourage people? Do people naturally like to listen to you? Chances are God is going to use those natural gifts and abilities for his honor and his glory. Some people think of natural abilities and they're like, well, God can't use this. Yes, he can. Add all these components together. When you look at desire, when you look at experiences, spiritual gifts, individual style, growth phase, and natural abilities, you find God's design for your life. But you got to start somewhere. You got to find what's your passion. And then I would encourage you in your pursuit in finding what God's called you to be, get around people that are pursuing the same things. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. And sometimes it's simply hard for us to find our design or find what God's called us to do because we're hanging around the wrong people. And I hate to say it, that even sometimes in the church, if you're not careful, you'll make friends with somebody that's negative. They're in every church. They're not bad people. They just haven't thought to think differently. But I'm talking about, you got to get around people that are going to expand your thinking, that are going to challenge your perspective and challenge you to do things you've never done before. But if you want to stay average, keep doing what you're doing. But if you want to tap into the supernatural, you got to be willing to use your abilities for God's honor and God's glory. And I got to caution you, in pursuing God's calling for your life, it would be unfair to tell you all these things and not warn you about being patient. Because sometimes you'll wait on God, and maybe your patience will run thin, and maybe you'll grow weary. But you got to understand patience. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, suffering, without complaint or getting upset. Galatians 6:9 reminds us to not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And I want to encourage you. Some of you, it's amazing now that, you know, we're coming on 1 year. In a few weeks, in 2 weeks, we will have taken over. It'll be 1 year since we've taken over the church. And it's been amazing to me to see how many of you have like just stepped into your calling. Now, the road may not have been smooth, but you're still marching forward. I want to challenge you, endure. Keep pressing, keep fighting, keep submitting, keep willing. See what God will do in your life. And you got to know, depending on where you're at right now, will determine what God would have you do. You know, I was always taught that when I pursue the will of God, be willing to do whatever God's called me to do at this season of my life. Part of my calling is preaching the gospel, but I'm not always going to preach the gospel. There may be seasons where I'm just called to invest time in people. There may be a season where maybe God will have me write one day. Come on, somebody. There may be a time where maybe we might put a big conference on in downtown Tacoma. Come on. I'm talking about dreaming big. One day, some of you, God may use to write books. Why not? Why wait? Why not pen your process now? Why not start writing? I remember year one, I went through this. I didn't. And as God gives you understanding, why couldn't you pen it out? Some of you got things you're working through. Why couldn't you write a book through your issue? Overcoming and becoming. Why not? But we got to stay patient. And with this, Wayne Cordero, he has one of the largest growing churches in the United States. He wrote this: finding your fit may take time. Be patient. God may want to build your quality or character before he fits you into your niche or into your role. In any case, be patient. Everything has an order to it, and we can't push our way into God's plan. When most people start on a puzzle, they begin by fitting the edge pieces together, forming a frame. The frame is the easiest part of the puzzle to assemble because each of the border pieces has at least one side with a straight edge. Once you get these together, then you start working towards the middle. Finding your fit in the church often resembles a similar process. Just like fitting the pieces of a puzzle together, it requires patience. And as our church, God's forming and building our church, the edges are being put. We won't be able to finish the picture unless you do your part. If God has called this church to be great, and we're called to paint a picture of what hope is, what if the last piece is yours? This church will never reach its full potential if one piece of the puzzle is not willing to fit itself in. You got to know you're valuable. The picture and the vision God has for this church, for this city. It's not about our church. It's about the city. Hear me. It's not about building this church. It's about the city. When I took over this church, and I end with this, I really will end with this. I made a commitment to God that I would preach the uncut word of God. I would follow his lead. I will make sure my actions demonstrate faith, and we will always reach people. Those were the four things God told me. He said, there's no great formula. You preach the uncut word of God. Be led by my spirit. Let your actions demonstrate faith and reach people, and you will make an impact in the city of Tacoma. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. So this was a two-part message. Next week, we're actually going to do the gifts test. And I don't know who's done the gift test before. Just raise your hand. Amen. Well, the gifts test is a series of close to probably 80 questions. And they're real quick questions. You number them 1 through 5. But it actually has a formula to it. And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and have coffee. So we'll come in. We'll do worship. And then what we'll do is we're going to actually put light music on. We'll have coffee. And you'll be able to take this test. The great thing about the gifts test is if you've taken it in the past, you're probably at a different growth phase in your life. And what's great about this test, at the very end, based on how you answer your desires, your experiences, you will walk out of here knowing your three spiritual gifts. You'll know scriptures and you'll have a definition of what those gifts are. So listen, I encourage you to come next week. It'll be very informal. But we'll come, we'll sing a few worship songs, and then from there, we'll have nice music, and we'll be able to take the gifts tests. But it's my heart's desire that you find out what God's called you to do. Find out what your spiritual gifts are, because in identifying your spiritual gifts, it'll be easier for you to fit in, to serve in the local church. You got to know you're special. So tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, tonight, I simply want to pray for those of you know God has called you. You may not even know what he's called you to, but you know God's drawing you close. He's requiring more from you. Maybe tonight you're battling with fear. Maybe you're afraid of what that call might look like. But tonight, I simply want to pray for you that God would give you peace. Maybe you're here and you feel like your life is insignificant. Maybe you think thoughts like, what could I do for the Lord? What could I really do for the Lord? I want to encourage you and remind you that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. But tonight, I simply want to pray. If you're here and you say, man, I want to do great things for God. I don't know how. I don't know what I'm called to do, but I want to bring God glory. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, lift your hand and quickly put it down. That's it.